The Barnett Mercantile had everything. Its shelves, counters, and floor space boasted items from ladies' ribbons to burlap bags of seeds, from babies' bottles to brand new potbelly stoves. TJ, who had been to the store several times before, wove his way among the farmers and led us to a counter at the far corner of the room. The counter had a glass top, and beneath the glass were handguns artfully displayed on a bolt of red velvet. "Just look at it," TJ said dreamily. "Ain't she something?" "What?" I said. "That pearl-handled one. Stacy, man, you ever seen a gun like that before in your whole life? I'd sell my life for that gun. One of these days, I'm gonna have it, too."
"I reckon I ain't," said Stacy politely. "It's a nice-looking gun, all right."
I stared down at the gun. The price tag of $35.95 stared back at me.
$35.95, I almost screamed. "Just for an old gun? What the devil you gonna use it for? Can't hunt with it."
TJ looked at me with disgust.
"Ain't supposed to hunt with it. It's for protection."
"Protection of what?" I asked, thinking of Papa's sturdy shotgun that hung over his and Mama's bed, and the sleek Winchester rifle which Big Ma kept locked in the trunk beneath our own bed.
"That thing couldn't hardly kill a rattlesnake."
"There's other things a body needs protecting from more than a rattlesnake," he said haughtily. "I get me that gun, and ain't nobody gonna mess with me. I wouldn't need nobody."
Stacy backed away from the counter. He seemed nervous being in the store.
"We better get those things you need and get on out of here before Big Ma comes looking for us."
"Aw, man, there's plenty of time," said TJ, looking longingly at the gun. "Sure wish I could just hold it just once."
"Come on, TJ," ordered Stacy, "or me and Cassie's gonna go on back outside."
"Oh, all right."
TJ turned reluctantly away and went to a counter where a man was measuring nails onto a scale. We stood patiently waiting behind the people in front of us, and when our turn came, TJ handed his list to the man.
"Mr. Barnett, sir," he said, "I got me this here list of things my mama want."
The storekeeper studied the list and, without looking up, asked,
"You one of Mr. Granger's people?"
"Yes, sir," answered TJ.
Mr. Barnett walked to another counter and began filling the order. But before he finished, a white woman called.
"Mr. Barnett, you waiting on anybody just now?"
Mr. Barnett turned around. "Just them," he said, indicating us with a wave of his hand.
"What can I do for you, Ms. Emmeline?"
The woman handed him a list twice as long as TJ's, and the storekeeper, without a word of apology to us, proceeded to fill it.
"What's he doing?"
I objected.
"Hush, Cassie,"
said Stacy, looking very embarrassed and uncomfortable. TJ's face was totally bland, as if nothing at all had happened. When the woman's order was finally filled, Mr. Barnett again picked up TJ's list. But before he had gotten the next item, his wife called.
"Jim Lee, these folks needin' help over here, and I got my hands full."
And as if we were not even there, he walked away.
"Where's he going?" I cried.
"He'll be back," said TJ, wandering away.
After waiting several minutes for Mr. Barnett's return, Stacy said, "Come on, Cassie, let's go." He started toward the door, and I followed. But as we passed one of the counters, I spied Mr. Barnett wrapping an order of pork chops for a white girl.
Adults were one thing. I could almost understand that. They ruled things, and there was nothing that could be done about them. But some kid who was no bigger than me was something else again. Certainly Mr. Barnett had simply forgotten about TJ's order. I decided to remind him, and without saying anything to Stacy, I turned around and marched over to Mr. Barnett.
Excuse me, Mr. Barnett,
I said as politely as I could, waiting a moment for him to look up from his wrapping.
I think you forgot, but you was waiting on us for you was waiting on this girl here, and we've been waiting a good while now for you to get back.
The girl gazed at me strangely, but Mr. Barnett did not look up. I assumed he had not heard me.
I was near the end of the counter, so I merely went to the other side of it and tugged on his shirt sleeve to get his attention. He recoiled as if I had struck him. You was helping us, I said, backing to the front of the counter again.
Well, you just get your little black self back over there and wait some more, he said in a low, tight voice. I was hot. I had been as nice as I could be to him, and here he was talking like this.
We've been waiting on you for near an hour, I hissed, while you round here waiting on everybody else, and it ain't fair. You got no right.
Whose little nigger is this? Bellowed Mr. Barnett.
Everyone in the store turned and stared at me.
I ain't nobody's little nigger, I screamed, angry and humiliated, and you ought not be waiting on everybody, for you wait on us.
Hush up, child, hush up, someone whispered behind me. I looked around. A woman who had occupied the wagon next to ours at the market looked down upon me.
Mr. Barnett, his face red and eyes bulging, immediately pounced on her. This gal yourn, Hazel?
No, sir, answered the woman meekly, stepping hastily away to show she had nothing to do with me. As I watched her turn her back on me, Stacy emerged and took my hand.
Come on, Cassie. Let's get out of here.
Stacy! I exclaimed, relieved to see him by my side. Tell him! You know he ain't fair making us wait.
She your sister, boy? Mr. Barnett spat across the counter.
Stacy bit his lower lip and gazed into Mr. Barnett's eyes.
Yes, sir? Then you get her out of here, he said with hateful force, and make sure she don't come back till your mammy teach her what she is.
I already know what I am, I retaliated, but I bet you don't know what you are, and I could sure tell you, too, you old...
Stacy jerked me forward, crushing my hand in the effort, and whispered angrily,
Shut up, Cassie!
His dark eyes flashed malevolently as he pushed me in front of him through the crowd. As soon as we were outside, I whipped my hand from his.
What's the matter with you? You know he was wrong.
Stacy swallowed to flush his anger, then said gruffly,
I know it, and you know it, but he don't know it, and that's where the trouble is.
Now come on before you get us into a real mess. I'm going up to Mr. Jameson's to see what's keeping Big Ma.
What about TJ? I called as he stepped into the street.
Stacy laughed wryly. Don't worry about TJ. He knows exactly how to act.
He crossed the street sullenly then, his hands jammed in his pockets. I watched him go, but didn't follow. Instead, I ambled along the sidewalk trying to understand why Mr. Barnett had acted the way he had. More than once I stopped and gazed over my shoulder at the mercantile. I had a good mind to go back in and find out what had made Mr. Barnett so mad. I actually turned once and headed toward the store. Then, remembering what Mr. Barnett had said about my returning, I swung back around, kicking at the sidewalk, my head bowed. It was then that I bumped into Lillian Jean Sims.
Why don't you look where you're going? She asked huffily.
Jeremy and her two younger brothers were with her.
Hey, Cassie, said Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy, I said solemnly, keeping my eyes on Lillian Jean.
Well, apologize, she ordered.
What?
You bumped into me, now you apologize.
I did not feel like messing with Lillian Jean. I had other things on my mind.
Okay, I said, starting past, I'm sorry.
Lillian Jean sidestepped in front of me.
That ain't enough.
Get down in the road.
I looked up at her.
You crazy?
You can't watch where you're going. Get in the road. Maybe that way you won't be bumping into decent white folks with your little nasty self.